Each time I sit down to talk to you on this book of Ephesians, first thing I know, my time is gone. And I hope it doesn't drag for you. It certainly does not for me. And I can't find words to express what's in my heart and mind as I read these amazing verses with the revelation of the truth which God gave to the Apostle Paul concerning the church, the body of Christ. And here we are again in Ephesians chapter 3. And again, may I refresh your memory that God gave to the Apostle Paul what he calls a mystery, something unknown to past generations, something which was hidden in God from everybody else, is now made manifest through his servants in the church, the wonderful, wonderful wisdom of God in building up a new race of people, a new family, a new body called the church, something that is different to everything else that God has ever created. And that God takes sinners, Jews and Gentiles today, irrespective of who they are or what they are, and he puts them into the church, the body of Christ, makes them his children, and puts them in a place of relationship beyond all angelic beings. My friend, I tell you this morning, it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to know the Savior. It's a wonderful thing to know we belong to one who not only put away his sin, who not only burst the bands of the tomb, who not only reconciled us to God by his death, but one who has brought us into a vital, eternal, complete relationship to himself. So much so that God is going to take the church of Christ and through eternal ages display it through us, his wonderful grace and his marvelous wisdom. And then we took up, in our last lesson, the effect this truth had upon the Apostle Paul. And remember, by the way, in verse 11, this truth is according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The purpose for Christ's coming, to die, to live, and to die, and to be raised again, and to be exalted, was that God might bring into being this heavenly group, born of God, indwelt by his Spirit, fitted as channels for the display of his grace and his wisdom. As I said yesterday, the effect upon Paul was that he said, I am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. Less than the least of all saints, that I might preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Again, I refresh your memory, and I trust you did what I asked you to do yesterday, to take chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians, and take this word riches, riches of grace, the riches of his inheritance, the riches of his mercy, the unsearchable riches of Christ, the riches of his glory. Oh, how wealthy we are in Christ. Now the effect upon Paul, too. Let me take the other aspect. Not only did it cause him to be filled with humility, but also it filled him with a boldness. Will you notice in verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. Notice the words he uses. Knowing something of God's eternal purpose, this gave him boldness. This gave him confidence. It gave him boldness to speak. It gave him access without fear. It gave him confidence and trust. I'm sure that angels, holy angels in the presence of God, must have been astounded, must have been amazed at such boldness, that a man could come into the very presence of a holy, mighty, sovereign God and come with a confidence, with a boldness to speak. As far as I know, angelic beings cannot come into God's presence unless bidden. But as I've been telling you, my friend, in the Church of Christ, we've been brought into a relationship superior to holy angels who are our ministers. Now, I do not want you to get the idea that we come into the presence of God with an arrogance. I have heard Christians, and I see this very sadly, I have heard Christians talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and talk about Jesus with a flippancy that is not the boldness of faith, but the arrogancy of a human nature. a flippancy. Can one who is redeemed, cleansed by the blood of Christ, a child of the living God, come into the presence of our holy, sovereign, mighty God with flippancy, with a lightness, with a shallowness that is so evident? Paul here says, we have boldness, and that word means boldness to speak. And we have our access with confidence. Why? We're coming into Father's presence. As he could say in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 16, when he said, we cry out, Abba, Father. You remember in 1 John chapter 2, where the Apostle John says in verse 18, 1 John 2:28, where John says, my little children, abide in him, so that when he shall appear, we shall be bold to speak. We'll not be full of fear. We have access into the very presence of God. We have access through the blood of Christ. This is the ground upon which we can come, the ground of redemption. We come on the ground of relationship as the children of God. And we come bold to speak, not the boldness of arrogance, but the boldness of faith, knowing of the relationship, knowing that we have a distinct place in the purpose of God, knowing that we are the objects of the love of our Father. I need to suggest to you here, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith, by faith in him. You remember in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, Paul saying to stumbling, weak believers, let us come with boldness to the throne of grace, and there obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Now he's talking there to stumbling, weak believers. He says, come with boldness. Why? It's the throne of grace. We're not coming to a throne of judgment. If we were, we'd come with terrible fear. We'd be scared to come. But we're coming to the throne of grace. And the one who was seated upon that throne is full of the Spirit of grace. Furthermore, he's our Father. And we are in relationship with him. So we come with confidence, with boldness to speak. We have our access. I say again, it must be a tremendous amazement for angels to marvel at the boldness of God's people, the boldness of Paul. You remember in the 24th Psalm, and I think I'm reverent when I say this, in the 24th Psalm, open up ye everlasting doors and let the King of Glory come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong, mighty in battle. The Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory. And of course, this speaks of our Savior in resurrection and exaltation. But are we not accepted in the Beloved? Does God not see us in his Son? And because of our relationship to the Son, because we're trusting in him, we have access into his presence. Oh, I'd like to bring this before you, that you and I might come today in the presence of God. This is why Paul could say in the next verse, wherefore I desire, you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Don't worry about me, says Paul. I could come into the very presence of my Father. My circumstances, though I'm in difficult circumstances and persecuted for the gospel's sake, don't sympathize with me, says Paul. I have access into the very presence of my Father. I can come where angels fear to tread. Don't you remember that little song we used to sing? Holy, holy is what the angels sing. And I am going to help them make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption's story, they will fold their wings, for angels never felt the joys that our salvation brings. Oh, the confidence. Am I talking to some stumbling, weak, halting believer today? Listen, dear friend, are you down because of your failures, because of your mistakes, because of your frailty and weaknesses? May I encourage you to come to the throne of grace You're coming to Father. He understands. You are the object of his love, the object of his grace. Why don't you come? And let him meet your present need right now and come with confidence. And when you come with confidence, you have all the mercy and all the grace that you need. I just feel like telling you this morning, dear Christian friend, you come into the presence of God. Open up your heart before him. Remember, he's your loving Father. Remember, he's rich in mercy. And remember, you are the object of his love and devotion. So come. If you've failed him, tell him all about it. Be very bold to speak and tell him about your failures. And as you confess your sin, he will cleanse you. He will forgive you. He'll bring you back into his own fellowship. Oh, for us to walk today in the fellowship, in the intimacy of his fellowship. And again, may I ask, if I'm speaking to any unsaved person, friend, this may be beyond you, which I've been speaking, but you can enter into this. This is for you. We are still living in the day of grace when God is showering mercy upon sinners who will come to him. God means business to you. And if you will just bow and receive Jesus Christ into your own heart, into your own life as your Savior, all that I have been saying will be true of you too. He'll transform you from a child of wrath into a child of God. He'll transform you from a sinner into a saint. He'll give you life eternal, free you from death and from sin, and then makes you the object of his love and of his grace. May the Lord wonderfully bless you today for his name's sake.